host Ben Rains, and today we're trying to help investors decide if some tech giants are on sale and if it's time to possibly buy the dip after the massive coronavirus sell-off last week led to the worst week since the financial crisis. But before we get into everything, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And make sure to check out our new zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. So, as many people might know at this point, the Dow, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ all tumbled into a correction last week. So, that's down 10% from their recent highs. And it happened pretty much at warp speed last week as the spread of the coronavirus outside of China caused this massive market-wide sell-off. The S&P 500 suffered its fastest ever 10% decline in history. Friday's downturn was followed by the massive sell-off on Thursday that marked the Dow's largest one-day collapse in history and really just helped drag stocks down towards their worst week, as I mentioned at the top, since the financial crisis. And then there were some small signs of hope Friday afternoon with the NASDAQ closing barely in the green. And then we'll get into a little bit later. There's some positivity happening as of Monday morning. But overall, yeah, we just want to hammer home the point that all three indexes fell more than 10%, and all three have fallen at least 13% from their recent highs. And there was really no one safe last week. All 11 of the S&P 500 sectors fell into negative territory for the year last week as well. And then, meanwhile, this is according to Dow Jones market data, over 95% of the S&P 50 stocks were down more than 10% from their recent highs. And then, as one might assume, the sell-off saw the yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note drop even further. It hit all-time lows on Friday and Monday morning as well as more people pile into those safe haven 10-year Treasury bonds. And then the CBOE's Volatility Index, which is better known as the VIX, jumped to 47.4 early Friday, which was its highest levels since October of 2011. So that shows that people are still just really worried about the volatility going forward, and it's unclear exactly when this coronavirus-based pullback is going to end. So we're going to jump in some more of the coronavirus statistics that we know at this point. And obviously last week, as I mentioned already, it's the spread outside of China that had the market a little more nervous. This includes places like South Korea, Italy, Iran, Japan, and at least the numbers are different in different places, but I've seen at least 46 countries have now confirmed cases of the coronavirus all over the world. And this was based on some World Health Organization data as of late Friday afternoon. And then as of Monday morning, there have now been over 3,000 confirmed deaths from the coronavirus and over 80,000 cases. But then on a more positive sign, China on Friday reported 327 new cases, which marked its lowest levels since January, and a sign that maybe things are slowing down a bit in China. And obviously, the CDC then last Tuesday, they called for U.S. businesses, schools, and people to prepare for the likely spread of the coronavirus in the U.S. And then the U.S. government and the White House are trying to figure out what their proper response is going to be. And so far, this is as of Monday morning, there are now 88 confirmed cases, and there's been 2 deaths in the United States from this virus. But overall, it's just hard to know how much longer this is going to be going on, how quickly this is going to continue to spread. The U.S. is now trying to have people not fly to affected parts of Italy and South Korea, and they're announcing additional screening for travelers from those countries that are designated as high-risk areas. So it's going to continue to be in the headlines, and this uncertainty is going to remain for as long as we don't really have any answers of how quickly this spread is going to last. So the market and the economy are going to be kind of in flux at the moment. And obviously it shows how important the Chinese economy is to the world. It's the second largest economy in the world, and it remains largely on lockdown. Travel restrictions are still in place. And it's gotten to the point where now people in China are sort of not begging, but they're asking to start going back to work. Things have grinded to a halt there. And the Chinese government does have every reason to help stimulate businesses and cancel debt. So look for the Chinese government to do everything in their power to bring that economic growth back as soon as possible. And then obviously the worries are that South Korea is going to get a little worse, and their economy is pretty important on the global stage as well. And you also saw last week that Japan is shutting down its schools for a month in an effort to prevent the spread. And this could largely stem from the fact that they're trying not to have to cancel the Summer Olympics in Tokyo in 2020. So things are happening pretty quickly, and some really big important countries on the global stage are taking some pretty dramatic steps to try to stop the spread from happening. So we're going to see then really what happens here in the U.S. But we did already see that last week Goldman Sachs is now expecting 0% corporate earnings growth in 2020. Bank of America lowered its estimate for global GDP growth based on the coronavirus. And all these updates are going to really continue to happen over the next week, or at this point, who knows? It could be months. We're a little unsure. But so far, what we do know is the infection rate is smaller than the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic and much less deadly than the recent Ebola virus outbreaks. And we already did see the market bounce back as of Monday morning. So we're recording this, it's about 11:30 Central, and the Dow was up about 3%. The S&P 500 was up 2.9%, and the NASDAQ was up about 2.9% as well. So we did see some buying early Monday morning after that big sell-off last week. And it seems like in the near term, there's going to be still a lot more volatility. There's definitely going to be more selling as this uncertainty remains, but things were just hammered so much last week. People took advantage of that. And until the headlines and the actual spreading of the virus go away, you're going to continue to see this volatility, but it got too hammered last week for there not to be a little bit of a bounce back on Monday morning. But what we should also note is that unlike the 2008 financial crisis, which was the last time we saw this kind of big sell-off, was that the overall economic picture in the United States remains pretty strong at the moment. Unemployment remains near 50-year lows. This will put a lot of pressure on the jobs report, the next jobs report, which is due out at the end of this week. So that will be for February. So overall, the picture remains pretty strong. And now people are betting that the Fed's going to cut interest rates a little further, but it's unclear exactly how much cutting interest rates when they're already crazy low is really going to be able to stimulate growth here in the U.S. So we'll be on the lookout for what the Fed does next. But this brings me to Apple and Microsoft. Those are the two companies I wanted to look at today because they're the two largest public companies in the U.S. Both have market caps of about $1.3 trillion at the moment. So they're partly responsible for the big run-up, and then they're partly responsible for the falls as well. So they're kind of a good proxy to look at. And since they are so important to the market, we're going to see if either of those companies are worth buying at the moment, if they're any cheaper than they were, just if there's opportunity to buy these two big tech giants based on last week's sell-off. And before we see if we should buy, we should note that they both have signaled that the coronavirus is going to impact their results. So Apple actually flashed pretty early warning signs to Wall Street, and this was on Monday, February 17th. So the Monday before the sell-off started last Monday, they lowered their quarterly revenue guidance on the back of a slowdown in demand and production in China. They noted that their factories are they're not getting back to normal conditions as quickly as they anticipated. I could read the whole quote, but I'm not going to. And then they noted that is going to disrupt worldwide iPhone supply, temporarily constrained. And then they also noted the demand for their products within China, which is a key market for Apple these days, has also been affected as stores remain closed throughout a lot of China. So the demand is down in China and overall production is down, which is going to affect their iPhone business in the current quarter. And then after Apple warned about 2 weeks ago at this point, MasterCard and others followed. And then we had Microsoft updating their situation last Wednesday, noting that they still see strong demand, but they said that their more personal computing segment, they lowered their guidance in terms of that business, which is going to be negatively impacted by their product development within China. But overall, they said that their Q3 guidance remains unchanged for their other components, which is a good sign because that cloud computing business is what continues to drive a lot of their growth and has been the big growth story that Wall Street has loved over the past 5 years, really, at this point. And now we're going to jump into the stocks and see what people should do for either Apple or Microsoft. So Apple was trading at about $323 per share around the time it updated its guidance on February 19th, and it closed regular trading Friday at $273 per share. So this was down about 16% from that 2 week period. It was trading at mid December levels as of Friday afternoon. And then in terms of Microsoft was trading at about $187 per share on February 19th. So the day that Apple guided lower, based on coronavirus fears, and it had fallen to $170 per share by the end of that first brutal Monday, down 7% on the week. And it's down about 13% since Apple gave that warning. So Apple was down 16% over that 2 week stretch, and Microsoft was down about 13% over that 2 week stretch. But as we kind of alluded to at the top, there was a bit of a bounce back on Friday. So we saw Microsoft jump on Friday up 2.4% during regular trading hours, and it's still up on the year. As of now, they're up still about 4% on the year. And then Apple was nearly flat on Friday, so not down anymore. But then Apple stock bounced back big Monday. They're up about 6%, and Microsoft was up about 3% as of early morning trading on Monday. And so now we're going to take kind of a broader look at these stocks, where they're trading at. So Apple still, over the last 6 months, is still up about 32%. Microsoft's up about 18% over the last 6 months, and this is including this big sell-off over the last about week and a half or so. So they're still up big. And then over the last year, they're up even more than that, as you'd expect. Apple's up about 60% still over the last year, and Microsoft's up about 45% over the last year. But what this downturn has done, obviously the price itself is a little lower, and it's pushed their valuations a little lower. So Microsoft's trading at a 25.9 times forward 12-month earnings. And this is down well off its highs from early February, when it was up at about 31 times forward 12-month earnings estimate. So trading at about 26, down from 31. And they're obviously still a little elevated. It's above its 3-year median at the moment, but it's looking a lot better than it was just at the beginning of last month, which is February at this point. And then Apple, meanwhile, is trading at about 18.8, so 19 times forward 12 months earnings estimates. Similar to Microsoft, Apple is now sitting well below its recent highs, where it was about 23.5 times forward earnings, so down to 19 on their side. So both are now a little bit more value conscious than they were recently, and that's why a lot of people kind of assumed there was going to be a pullback at some point. In the coronavirus is not necessarily an excuse, because there are real factors that are at play, that global economic growth is going to slow down, but there seemed like there needed to be some type of pullback when you had these two big tech giants who are have outsized sway over the market because of their market caps. Their valuations had just skyrocketed to levels they hadn't seen in a really, really long time. So there was going to be a pullback, and both Microsoft and Apple's valuations have come down in the last week based on this sell-off. So on the value side, it certainly looks like it might be time to buy either Apple and Microsoft. But I mean, the easy answer would be to hold off if you're trying to look for the bottom on some of these stocks. But really, the bottom is something you can only understand in retrospect. So if you're a more prudent investor who doesn't want any more downside risk, maybe just stay out until you think the coronavirus and all these headlines are going to go away. But as We said we don't really know when that's going to be. But if you're a longer term investor and you don't really see how Microsoft or Apple's long-term business has changed, if you're thinking about holding on to either of these stocks for the next 10 years or even 5 years, now would certainly be a time to think about buying. And obviously there's going to be more volatility and fluctuation in these stocks as long as this coronavirus hangs out there. But if you're a long-term investor, why not buy Apple and Microsoft on any perceived dip and any perceived lowered valuation? And especially when you take a look at what they're supposed to do over the next year. And this is based on our most updated Zacks estimates. And so these have obviously, analysts have taken into consideration what both Apple and Microsoft have said about their current quarter. And right now, Apple is Zacks rank number 2 buy, and its services business is set to boom, and the iPhone is set to return to growth this year. So I quickly want to note, just for anyone who's interested, Apple for fiscal 2020, their current year, their revenue is supposed to grow at about 9% and then nearly 10% the year after that. Their bottom line is supposed to grow 15% this year and then another 16% the year after that. So we're calling for nearly double-digit top and bottom-line growth for a company of this size. That's a great sign going forward. So Apple's business might be impacted in the current quarter based on some iPhone damage in China, but long-term, their estimates have remained strong. Obviously, this could change if we find out more bad news out of China in the global economy. But right now, Apple's is Zacks rank number 2 buy. Its earnings estimates have still trended in the right direction. Supposed to grow 9% this year, another 10% next year, 15% in the bottom line, and 16% in the bottom line after that. And then meanwhile, Microsoft is a number 1 strong buy. Its earnings estimate revision activity has remained really positive. Its cloud computing business is projected to continue to grow even as those legacy businesses evolve and grow as well. So in terms of what we're expecting from Microsoft, we're calling for about 13% growth on the top line this year, and then another 12% growth next year. And then we're calling for 19% growth on the bottom line, and then another 12% growth the following year. So big growth for both of these companies, who are the biggest companies on the market right now, $1.3 trillion in market cap for each, Apple and Microsoft. And their growth looks just as strong as it's been in any years past, certainly in the recent history. And so both are currently in that buy rating for Zacks. And if you're a longer term investor, obviously there's still going to be a lot of uncertainty. But if you want to have a chance to scoop up Apple and Microsoft, this current dip might be a chance to do it. If you see more of a dip coming, maybe hold off. But certainly it appears that either one of these stocks is worth considering at a little bit of a discounted rate compared to where they'd been trading before this recent coronavirus sell-off. But that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.